Where do you go when you want to know what's new to do and who is who?
Studio Classroom is the place to be.
Come along and you will see connecting is the thing to do. Give your life a different view.
You can learn and you can share with people living everywhere.
Studio Classroom, the place to learn.
The place to grow.
Stay tuned and watch the show.
Hey everyone, and welcome to Studio Classroom. My name is Gabe.
I'm Carolyn.
And I'm Nathaniel.
And we're glad that you could join us for today's very interesting article called Packing in Practice. If you are a traveler, if you're someone who has to pack often because you are traveling, maybe this lesson will be useful for you. Well, what is your experience in packing anyway? Nathaniel, can you tell me a little bit about your experience with packing?
Well, if you've ever had to pack for a flight, for a trip with an airplane, you know that you have to pay attention to how much your bags weigh. And sometimes it's difficult to keep them below the weight necessary.
It's true. Sometimes I pack a lot in my luggage, and then I have to take some out at the airport and put it in my carry-on bag to take on the plane. It can be kind of troublesome. Carolyn, what's your experience with packing?
Well, I had to do a lot of packing when I went to college because I was moving into a dorm room, and we packed the car pretty full, so there wasn't much room left for the rest of us to get in the car.
That's pretty funny. The car was full of everyone's things. Well, it seems like we've had a lot of experience in packing. Friends, I don't know what kinds of experiences you've had, but maybe it would be good to learn something with packing in practice. Let's get started with our first reading for today.
Packing in practice. Sometimes a well-packed bag takes a little practice. I was nearly in tears as I dragged my three pieces of luggage through the deep snow. I was cold, tired, and embarrassed. My two classmates had a backpack and one piece of luggage each. I felt judged for bringing more. I was in Freiburg, Germany, hiking along cobblestone streets on my way to the university. This was the last part of a very long journey from the U.S.
Hello, friends. This is your word, Lady Ellen. Have you ever overpacked for a trip? What does that mean, you ask? We'll find out in today's passport article. First, let's look at our key words. Luggage. Luggage is a noun. You can only bring one piece of luggage with you on this airline. Backpack. Backpack is a noun. Your backpack is so heavy. Are you carrying rocks in it? Squeeze. Squeeze is a verb. Tyler tried to squeeze himself into the subway car, but there was no room. Suspect. Suspect is a verb. The police officer suspected that the boy stole the video game, but he couldn't prove it. Frown. Frown is a verb. The little girl frowned when her mother gave her a plate full of vegetables. Our more information words are cobblestone. Cobblestone is a noun. Streetcar. Streetcar is a noun. How do you pack for trips? Think about that as we read our article.
Well, we're enjoying Jo's story about her journeys. But let's go back to the title for today, Packing in Practice. There are a couple words I want to talk about there, some extra words, the words in practice. Now, if you want to get better at something, then you can use these words. You could talk about that thing or putting it into practice. For instance, I like to play drums. I want to get better. I can put my drumming into practice. How else can you use that phrase, Carolyn?
Well, I've been doing a lot of cooking and trying out new recipes, and now I want to put those recipes in practice and let my friends try them too.
Well, I would love to put my eating into practice after you put your cooking into practice. Nathaniel, what kinds of things do you put into practice?
Well, there are all kinds of travel tips, but it's hard to put them all into practice. Sometimes you just have to choose a few to try and see if they help your travel experience.
All right, so there are different things that you could put in practice. We're going to learn about packing in practice. And we see sometimes a well-packed bag takes a little practice. So far, we've seen that word practice as a noun, which is good. You know that you can use it as a noun and a verb. Well, Nathaniel, how does the article begin?
The first sentence says, I was nearly in tears as I dragged my three pieces of luggage through the deep snow. I was cold, tired, and embarrassed. But I think there is a word here in the first sentence, luggage. Luggage, this is a key word. What exactly is luggage, Carolyn?
Well, luggage, or a suitcase, is what you take with you when you travel. It's your bags that are filled with your things, your clothes, maybe your toothbrush. Mm-hmm. What are some things that you usually pack in your luggage?
Well, like you mentioned, clothes. Of course, you gotta have your underwear. You gotta have a couple of changes of pants and shirts, your toothbrush. I also like to pack a couple of good books. In traveling, you might have a lot of time to sit and read. Or, of course, if you have your iPad, you can play some games on that too. Do something like that. Those are the kind of things I like to put in my luggage. Friends, it's very important to remember this word never has an S, even if it's plural. It's not luggages, it's always luggage. I packed my luggage. I had many pieces of luggage. Well, friends, we're going to continue. Actually, in that first sentence, I like the first phrase. I was nearly in tears. Carolyn, can you talk about that phrase?
Yes, she was in tears with her three pieces of luggage. Does not mean that she was inside a tear. It means that she was almost crying. She was nearly in tears.
Nearly in tears. And why would she be in tears? Because she is lugging her three pieces of luggage through the deep snow. She was cold, tired, and embarrassed. And we continue to find out her two classmates had a backpack and one piece of luggage each. Let's talk about that word bank word there. It is backpack. Nathaniel, what is a backpack?
Well, it's a kind of bag that you wear on your back. You might see people take them to school. That's where they're commonly seen.
All right. Yeah, that's right. Students would wear backpacks on their shoulders, on their back. But also people who travel might wear or use different kinds of backpacks. They're usually a little bigger than normal. And we call those people backpackers, actually. You just add the ER on the end of that word backpack to talk about someone who uses those big backpacks to travel from place to place. Well, right now we're going to continue by learning something interesting with Steve and Ken in the Info Cloud. Here we go.
To successfully pack light, you need to change your thinking. Instead of saying to yourself, how much luggage can I carry? You should say, how little can I get away with?
I agree. The days of going on a trip lugging two or three huge suitcases behind us are, well, behind us. One medium-sized suitcase or smaller and a carry-on backpack is now the new normal.
It is, and it doesn't matter if you're gone for a week, a month, or a year. Reducing your load before you hit the road is the smart way to go.
Why? Because packing light will save you frustration. It will give you more flexibility and extra mobility.
And here's another reason, everyone. I just read in the newspaper that at least one airline will begin charging travelers $100 for every checked-in suitcase. So packing light will save you big money, too.
So it doesn't matter if you're a student, a parent with young kids, or a high-powered executive with personal assistants who carry your luggage.
Packing light makes everybody's travels simpler, smoother, and more enjoyable.
在今天的文章我们看到作者拖着三件行李走过深厚的积雪，而他的两位同学各自只有一个背包和一件行李。由此可见 packing light, 打包轻便是非常重要的。为什么要 pack light? 有几个理由。一个是 save frustration, 让我们不烦恼。还有呢就是 extra mobility, 有更多的行动力。跟 flexibility, 弹性。当然最重要的是 save money, 省钱。因为已经有航空公司开始针对托运行李收费。这就是今天的 Info Cloud, 我们下次云端见。
Thanks, guys. And it is important to pack light. And if you pack light, you might use a backpack. You might even go backpacking with your backpack. We were talking about that word earlier, and it can also be used as a verb to go backpacking. And you probably only have one bag when you do that.
Well,It seems like Jo did not only have one bag here in her story, she had three pieces of luggage. Her two classmates had a backpack and one piece of luggage each, and so we continue by finding out that Jo felt judged for bringing more. Does that feel good to feel judged, Nathaniel? How does that feel like?
Well, no, I don't think it ever feels very good to be judged. Her friends must have thought that she wasn't thinking very well when she packed so many things, and maybe they even told her that, though here it just says that she felt judged, even if they didn't say so.
Yeah, she felt judged. Well, my question for you is, have you ever felt judged in your life? Maybe you can talk about that in English. You felt like someone was kind of thinking about you in a negative way. You felt judged about something. Think about that and talk about it in English. Well, we're going to continue with Joe's story. I was in Freiburg, Germany, hiking along cobblestone streets on my way to the university. She was in Germany, and she was hiking on what kind of streets, Carolyn?
Cobblestone streets. And a cobblestone is a very round stone that they use to make streets a long time ago. So they are laid along the ground, and they're not very easy to walk on because they are not flat. They are round.
Right on. So they're round stones that the roads used to be made of. Have you ever visited a street that was made of cobblestone? Nathaniel, do you like these kinds of streets?
Well, it is true that they're not very even, so they're not the easiest to travel on, but actually they look very nice. They look very unique, so I do kind of like them.
Yeah, they can kind of add a unique flavor to a certain city or a certain part of town to have a place that has a cobblestone road. Well, we continue. This was the last part of a very long journey from the U.S. So far we know that Jo has traveled from the U.S. to Freiburg, Germany in her story. We're going to learn more later, but for now, let's go join Michelle in the language lab.
Hi, everyone. I'm Michelle. 今天的第一个重点我们来看 luggage 这个不可数名词。Luggage 是指行李或随身行李。如果是一件行李的话是用 a piece of luggage, P-I-E-C-E 这个名词。例如 ,each passenger is allowed to carry one 25 kilo piece of luggage. 每位乘客可以携带一件25公斤以下的行李。如果是可数的行李箱的话就是用 suitcase 这个字 ,S-U-I-T-C-A-S-E。接下来我们来看的是 backpack 这个名词。backpack 就是指后备式的背包。例如 ,the boy's backpack is full of treats and game cards. 这个小男生的背包里面全部都是小点心跟游戏卡。Backpack 也可以当动词，意思就是指背着背包徒步旅行。例如 ,we backpacked around Italy. 我们在意大利背着背包到处徒步旅行。若是这样旅行的人叫做 backpacker, B-A-C-K-P-A-C-K-E-R。
Well, we're joining Jo today in her story about putting packing into practice. And of course, we found that it wasn't easy for her traveling with some friends through Europe from the United States to Freiburg, Germany. She realized that she had packed way too much and that it was not easy to lug three pieces of luggage through the snow. Maybe it would have been better just to have a backpack.We're going to continue this very interesting story right now.
Packing in Practice. After landing first in Zurich, Switzerland, we made our way north to Germany. I carried my things up and down stairs, on and off trains. I squeezed myself onto crowded streetcars and elevators. We were staying at the University of Freiburg for just a semester, but I suspected that I'd packed enough for a year. I'd barely arrived, and already I was wondering how I'd get my things home. When at last I got to my apartment, I frowned at my luggage. This was not going to happen again.
Of course, Joe and her friends had a very long journey from the U.S. to Germany, but they also stopped in some other places. We learned here that she stopped in Switzerland. Our first sentence is, after landing first in Zurich, Switzerland, we made our way north to Germany. We made our way north to Germany. I like this phrase here, to make your way somewhere. How can you use that phrase, Carolyn?
Well, a lot of times when I'm traveling, I want to make my way through the crowds of tourists because I want to get to where I want to go very quickly, so I need to make my way through the crowds.
All right, it kind of has that idea of there might be an obstacle or a challenge. It's not easy. You make your way. That means you have to kind of think about a unique way to get through. How would you use that phrase, Nathaniel?
I was thinking that maybe if you're on a tour guide might tell you to make your way into the next room, moving everybody along the tour.
All right, make your way into the next room. There are many ways to use this phrase. I hope you get a chance to do that today. We're going to continue with our article. Nathaniel, what does she say next?
Next she says, I carried my things up and down stairs, on and off trains. I definitely think that this would not have been easy with three pieces of luggage.
No, I don't think so either. She should have just packed one backpack. She says that she squeezed herself onto crowded streetcars and elevators. Well, we see some interesting words there. Let's talk about that word bank word. It is squeeze. And when you squeeze something, that means you're making it into a smaller shape than it should be. So what kinds of things can you squeeze, Carolyn?
Well, you might try to squeeze a piece of fruit to get the juice out. Maybe you want some lemon juice or some orange juice. But I also think of when I'm packing, I try to squeeze as much into my luggage as possible.
That's a good point. Speaking of packing, you try to squeeze as much as you can as possible. How do you use that word?
Well, Joanna talked about squeezing herself in somewhere. Sometimes one thing that we say is, let me squeeze in here. Let me get through. Or sometimes even, let me say something really quickly. We say, let me squeeze in here.
Good. So you can use this word squeeze as kind of a slang for interrupting something. Excuse me, let me squeeze in here with my thought. Well, we continue. We found out that she did squeeze into crowded streetcars and elevators. And she says, we were staying at the University of Freiburg for just a semester. What else does she say here, Carolyn?
She says, but I suspected that I'd packed enough for a year. So only one semester, that's just a few months, but she had a lot of things with her. And in this sentence, we see a key word, suspected. Now, Gabe, can you tell me what suspect means?
Well, when you suspect something, that means you're not really sure, but you have a guess about something. She knew that she was only going to be there for a semester, but she maybe guessed that she packed too much. I suspected I packed for a year. How else do you use that word, Nathaniel?
Well, I could say that I suspect airplane tickets are very expensive right now. I haven't checked, but I would guess that they're pretty expensive.
All right, or I also think about maybe the weather. It's getting kind of cloudy. I suspect it will rain. Not sure, right? So you can suspect something. Well, Nathaniel, how does Joe continue with her story?
She says, I'd barely arrived and already I was wondering how I'd get my things home. She has all this stuff. How's she going to get it back home, let alone how's she going to get to the university?
That's right. How is she going to get these things home? I'm sure that you might understand how Joe feels right now. Maybe if you have packed too much at one time, you know what this is like. Well, she says, when at last I got to my apartment, I frowned at my luggage. Let's talk about that word bank word. It's not a sad word, but your mouth does go down when you frown because it's the opposite of a smile. It's a frown. How else can you use that word, Carolyn?
Well, you might frown if you don't get a very good grade on your test or if you don't do well in something you were trying to do. Maybe you look at your test paper and frown. Oh, too sad, disappointed.
I understand completely because I've had those kinds of tests before. How do you use that word, Nathaniel? Frown.
Well, this is another one where you have to remember that frown can be both a noun and a verb. You can frown or you can have a frown on your face. It's not unusual to see a lot of frowns while you're traveling in an airport.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because lots of people don't like to travel, so you might see lots of frowns. Well, it is common for very happy and chipper people to use a phrase. They say, turn that frown upside down. So if you're feeling sad and you're frowning, you might hear one of your happier friends say, turn that frown upside down. That means smile. Turn your frown upside down. Well, we hope you're not frowning right now. You are smiling because we have a review skit we want to enjoy. Let's do that now.
Come on, this is the last part of our journey.
Yeah, a very long, long journey.
Stop crying. What's wrong?
I'm tired, and I'm cold, and I'm kind of embarrassed.
You should be embarrassed. Look how much stuff you brought.
Hey, why are you saying that? I feel like you're judging me.
I am judging you. You brought too much stuff. You have 3 suitcases.
Well...
Do you like dragging 3 pieces of luggage through snow?
No, I don't.
And do you like carrying them up and down the stairs?
No, I don't.
And on and off trains?
No.
And is it easy squeezing them into crowded streetcars and elevators?
No, it's not.
Then why did you bring so much stuff?
I just wanted to be sure I have enough things. I'll be staying for a semester.
I suspect you have enough for a year, or 2, or 3.
Oh, you're right.
And how will you get all these things home?
I don't know. I was already wondering that myself.
Oh, well, come on. Don't just stand there frowning and crying at your luggage.
Okay, I'm coming. But listen to me, luggage. This is not going to happen again. Next time, you're staying home.
Well, we know that Joe has had a really bad experience with her luggage so far. And the last sentence of today's reading says, this was not going to happen again. The next time that she packed, she would not take so many things with her. And now it's time to go to the language lab with Michelle.
Okay, 接下来我们来看的是 suspect 这个动词。注意它的字重音是在第二个音节念成 suspect。Suspect 是指怀疑或者是推测。例如 ,we suspected that Larry was stealing long before we caught him. 我们怀疑 Larry 在被我们逮到之前老早就在偷东西了。Suspect 可以当名词意思是嫌疑犯。这个时候重音在第一个音节念成 suspect。我们来看一个例句。Photos of the suspect were posted everywhere. 这名嫌犯的照片到处都有张贴。最后我们来看的是 frown 这个动词。frown 是指因为担心、愤怒或者是不悦而皱眉。例如 reading her son's report card, Rita shook her head and frowned. 看着儿子的成绩单 ,Rita 皱着眉而且一边摇头。如果要说明对哪个对象皱眉的话是用 at 这个介系词。例如 Ellen frowned at her messy kitchen.Ellen 皱着眉看着她乱七八糟的厨房。And let's get back to our teachers.
Well, I've enjoyed reading the first part of Joe's traveling story here, and I'm sure you have too. Maybe you have had a similar experience. Actually, Carolyn, have you had a similar experience to Joe's?
Well, I have. I went to China for 6 weeks during the summer, and I probably only needed one suitcase, maybe just a backpack, mm-hmm. but I took two large pieces of luggage with me, nice. And it was just too much. What about you, Nathaniel?
Yeah, when I was moving to Asia, I actually stopped in another city in the United States to visit a friend at his wedding. And I had a lot of luggage, and I had to take a bus and leave the airport and do a lot of things to get there, and it was not easy or fun.
Well, it doesn't sound like you packed little enough. And I've had similar experiences, too, actually, even in just short journeys to visit my parents. They only live 2 hours away, but sometimes I'll pack a lot, even in my backpack. It's too heavy. I think I'm going to read a book or do some homework or something. I never even touch that stuff. So sometimes I even pack too much in one backpack. Well, talk about your experiences in English, and we'll see you next time to continue this story right here at Studio Classroom. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
The Adventures of Tom Sawyer by Mark Twain.
Ah, I've broken a hole in the top.
He put his hand in through the hole and brought something out.
It's money.
The two men looked at the handful of coins. They were gold. Injun Joe's friend said,
We'll soon get the box up. I saw two spades among the weeds in that other corner.
He ran and got the boy's spades. Injun Joe took one of the spades, looked at it, shook his head in doubt, said something to himself, and then began to dig with it. The man soon got the box up and opened it.
There's thousands of dollars here,
cried Injun Joe.
I heard that Murrell's gang worked round here one summer,
said his friend.
Yes,
said Injun Joe.
And this looks like their stuff. I wonder why they left it here. Well, you won't need to do that dangerous job here now.